20 minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Steve Bailey, filling in for Matt Douglas today, tomorrow, and Monday. We've had some fun today so far talking about the Tribe trades made just a couple of hours before we came on the air. Edwin Encarnacion, Yandy Diaz, both making their way to Tampa. And the Indians, in exchange, are going to receive a familiar face in Carlos Santana and a top 50 Major League Baseball prospect, Jake Bowers. And here to help us digest this trade, a man that you hear all throughout the Indian season here on AM 930 WEOL with Tim Alcorn on the From the Dugout show. Also at NEOSportsInsiders.com, we bring in Matt Lodi. Matt, great to have you on the show as always, my friend. And boy, you know, I think this most definitely on the surface seems like it's going to be the first domino to fall for the Tribe, but let's just say that if we take that out of the equation, and I know it's hard to do at this point, but let's take the fact that this is the first domino out of the equation. Just your general thoughts about this trade.
Well, let me, I hate to do this because I love you, but let me correct you real quick. The Mariners actually got Encarnacion, and the Rays ended up getting Yandy Diaz. You said the Rays got both players. So just a quick correction there on that. So, you know, because obviously this was a three-way deal, the Indians, the Mariners, and the Rays. You know, it's an interesting deal that, you know, a lot of Indians fans were not really in favor of. And again, what you have to understand here is this is a fiscal deal. And as I tweeted out, you know, pretty much almost right after it happened, just hang on. There's going to be something else in the works because I saw somebody maybe within the last 25, 30 minutes tweet out, well, this is what the Indians lineup looks like right now. And they've got Bowers sitting at first base. They've got Santana hitting fourth, playing DH, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't going to fly. I mean, it's not, you know, this team's got other things in the works. I mean, I think it was Jensen Lewis who tweeted out earlier that, you know, this is basically a deal where, you know, the Indians are going to get some money back, and they do. They're going to get a player that knows the American League very well in Carlos Santana, who, you know, according to John Morosi, or I should say John Heyman, rather, tweeted out that Santana's thrilled. He's loving the fact that he gets to come back to Cleveland. He never wanted to leave in the first place. So, you know, there is some things to be said about players being comfortable where they play. I don't think Santana really ever got 100% comfortable in Philadelphia. I never thought he would last in Seattle. I knew that was nothing more than a bargaining chip. So to come back to Cleveland, you know, when we reported it, along with a couple other people, Corey Brock of The Athletic actually had it first the other night, that the Indians actually were talking with Seattle about Carlos Santana. You know, people were like, oh, no, he's not a good hitter. He strikes out too much. This is a guy that gets on base an awful lot. And, you know, a guy that, again, as I said earlier, knows the ballpark, knows the city, and I think it's going to be okay. You know, is the guy going to come back and hit 35 home runs and hit 300? Probably not, but if you look historically at his numbers, they're not bad. They're pretty much about, you know, a little bit under power-wise what Edwin was hitting, but it's a better average. And again, the Indians are going to get, you know, they're going to make out money-wise on this deal, which is kind of what they wanted to do in the first place.
So, Matt, Bull and I have been seeing reports on Twitter saying that Encarnacion is supposed to find his way from Seattle through Seattle to Tampa Bay. Have you heard anything in that regards?
Okay, this is probably something different than what I'm seeing. I've had it, you know, and it's been, you know, again, you talk about the moves that are being made. Everything's still kind of a fluid situation. And, you know, again, as of right now, Seattle will also get a 77th pick. You know, and again, I guess Tampa will eventually get Edwin. That's the guy that they've wanted. They have talked about Edwin going to Tampa Bay for a couple of days now. I think Paul Hoynes had that first, along with Yandy Diaz. So, okay, I stand corrected myself, I guess.
Well, it's not done yet, Matt. It's definitely not done yet. But those are reports saying that it's supposed to find its way there.
So it's probably going to happen. And, you know, Bailey, you're the guy. I mean, you're the man when it comes to knowing everything. I love you to death. You know, I don't know. Bull, did you lose a bet? Why is Bailey in there today? Did you lose a card game to him or something like that? Or
if this was the Browns, I would know what I'm talking about. But we have you on the line for a reason here.
Edwin's going to end up in Tampa. It's something that, you know, they have talked about for a while. The Rays have a lot of money. They have a need in their lineup for a power hitter. It makes perfect sense. I originally thought, and again, things have happened so fast here over the last 3 hours in this whole situation, I had originally thought that it was going to be Yonder Alonso ending up in Tampa, maybe even along with Edwin Encarnacion. But instead, it looks like for now it'll be Diaz in Tampa. Edwin is in Seattle for the moment. But again, I do agree with you guys. It's probably likely he's going to end up in Tampa. And, of course, the Indians get back Bowers along with, Bowers along with Carlos Santana. And as I read earlier on Twitter, it's going to end the era of the three Ys in the Indians lineup. You know, Yandy along with Yan, of course, and Yonder, because that's been broken up. It was broken up a couple weeks ago when they traded Yan, but certainly Yandy's gone, and it looks like Yonder's going to be pretty quickly here. I have a feeling Yonder will probably happen within the next 24 to 48 hours, which I think opens the door then for the Indians to go from Alonso and Encarnacion first to having Carlos Santana and this young prospect, Jake Bowers, who they get from Tampa, the 22-year-old, to play first base as well. And also Bowers can play some outfield, so that's a plus because we all know that this team needs outfielders in the worst way.
Seems like there's, I don't want to call it a logjam, but you've got a lot of bodies now in that outfield, none of which really blow you away. And I think that leaves us with a lot of questions moving forward because the general consensus is that if they're going to deal Bauer or Kluber, they're going to have to get an outfielder back in return. At least a lot of the rumors that we've heard, outfielders or young outfield prospects have been tied in with that. So that certainly leaves the door open moving forward with that next domino to fall. You had just mentioned, though, Matt, that it seems like Yonder Alonso is the next domino to fall here for the Tribe. What's a landing spot for him? Because, you know, he doesn't make a ton of money. I think that does make him at least kind of attractive, but you know, he's all right. He's not great, but for right. $9 million a year, you'd like to think there's got to be a couple landing spots for him.
Yeah, and again, I think it goes back to what we talked about before. It's probably the usual suspects, which means, you know, teams in the American League that are looking for power hitters. Would it surprise me if Tampa's in the mix? Absolutely not, because again, as I mentioned a minute ago, they're a team that is looking to get better. They're a team that has money to spend. And they're a team that still needs some power in their lineup. So, I don't have, like, exact teams that are, you know, looking for a guy like Yonder Alonso. But you got to look at teams that are in the mix as far as looking to spend money and looking for power. And Tampa Bay's got to be at the top of that list.
You know, the Yankees have been thrown out there as well. I'm not sure if there are Yankee fans out there that are looking at this as, I don't want to call it a pipe dream, but something to that effect, because they're really, really hoping that Manny Machado signs. And, of course, because they're part of the same family now, maybe
right.
Yonder Alonso joins that fray as well. But I think it's interesting how things have developed. You know, we've been waiting for the last 3 or 4 days in Las Vegas for something to pop. And at the very end of the winter meetings, the Indians end up making a couple of deals. And, you know, I was reading a little bit earlier today. You know, Tampa Bay had posted something on Twitter about the deal. And then all of a sudden, Rays fans just raked this thing over the coals. They hated this deal. Not knowing a whole lot about Yandy Diaz, I don't think, but there seemed to be a lot of Rays fans that really did not want to part ways with Bowers. How much have you had a chance to take a look at him and his body of work? Because it seems like, you know, this guy, top 50 prospect, obviously
right.
commands a great deal of respect in the prospect pipeline. This is a guy I think the Indians most definitely have had on the radar for a while.
Yeah, and again, I haven't gotten to do a ton on this whole thing yet because everything has been so, as I keep mentioning the word fluid, it just keeps changing, or at least, you know, everybody right now is trying to figure out the money aspect. And I've had text after text, and some tweets as well, being like, how do the Indians make out on this deal? Well, they make out on it because they are going to save money, but, you know, Bowers is a guy that they love and a guy that they've scouted for a while, 22 years old. Had some power in his bat, 11 home runs last year. Now everybody's going to look at the average and go, oh, he didn't hit the baseball in 96 games. But he started out pretty hot, struggled at the end of the year, which, you know, again, you got everybody's got to settle down here. This is a kid who's 22 years old. You know, he's a young kid, and he's a top prospect. I mean, I think he's a guy that the Indians are going to, you know, try to groom as one of their own. And, you know, guys, it is very difficult in this league to get three-team deals done. It's just not easy. And the Indians, obviously, have found that out the hard way because it took a while for this thing to get done. Do I think that it's one of those deals that's going to have to take place if they want to move one of the pitchers, a three-team deal? It might be. But the Indians are going to be steadfast in getting what they want for their players. And I think that this shows that they weren't just going to give up Encarnacion for nothing. They weren't going to give up Diaz for nothing. I think the most interesting aspect about Bowers and the thing that the Indians really like, too, is that he's got the – the what I like to call the Terry Francona versatility, in that he could play more than one position. He could play outfield. He could play first base. I think that that's going to be something they're going to really look at come spring training. Is this guy a shoo-in to make the roster? Probably, with where this team is right now, and again, for what they did to, in order to trade him. But the good thing is he does have some options left. So if he has to start the year in Columbus, I don't think it's the end of the world. But this is a guy that you're going to hear his name for quite a while here.
Matt, you brought up the pitchers, and most people thought this week we might hear of one of either Bauer and or Kluber being dealt. If one of those two were to be dealt, which one do you believe is going to be the one?
Well, I've said all along, I think if there's a preference all the way around on this thing, it would be Corey Kluber. He's older. He's got some injury history, even though, obviously you could say the same in terms of Bauer from last year on the ankle, but that was kind of a fluke. I was at the Wahoo Club luncheon on Saturday afternoon. That's obviously the Indians fan club. I was doing a speaker spot and selling some books and whatnot. And Len Barker was there, and they did kind of a Q&A with him and Joe Charbonneau, the 1980 Indians Rookie of the Year, or Rookie of the Year in the American League. And Barker, and I tweeted this out, a little video of kind of the same question you just asked, Steve, about, which one would get traded or which one would you trade, all that. And Barker said, look, Bauer's got such electric stuff. He could have won the Cy Young last year if he would have stayed healthy. He's a younger kid. He's making less money. And not only that, but, once you start with the back, which is something that Lenny bought out about Trevor Bauer, or I should say about Corey Kluber, it kind of tends to go downhill from there. And that's a shame to say, because, listen, if the Indians end up keeping Corey Kluber, that's not a bad thing. I want to make that perfectly clear. I think some people are almost like assuming that, the Indians want to get rid of Corey Kluber. They don't want to get rid of anybody. But I think they have to look at this as saying to themselves, we have to be fiscally sound. We're not rebuilding. And I think the Indians made that apparently clear yesterday, even though, again, you look at Twitter and whatnot today and people are going insane, like this team is, just traded away Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth. But, I think if there's one of those guys that has to go, it's probably going to be Corey Kluber. He makes more money. And here's the other part of that, too, that I think it should be a little bit exciting to Indians fans. He's probably going to bring more in return. And I think that that's a big deal for this organization, that, he might be able to bring a top 10 prospect from some organization and a couple of major league ready guys. I think that those are very big variables in this whole thing that Corey Kluber can bring to the table. Can Trevor Bauer bring as much? He'll bring a lot. Don't get me wrong. If they do end up trading Trevor Bauer, they're going to get a lot in return. But I think the fan base at this point would be a little bit more understanding if they traded Corey Kluber. But I'm sure that the Indians, I do feel that that's the route they would prefer to take if they end up moving one of these two guys.
Do you think Trevor Bauer's whole outlook on wanting to be that one-year-at-a-time contract type of guy so he can maximize his market value that he's been preaching about all over social media for quite a while now, do you think that is a deterrent for either other teams and or the Indians?
I think it's an interesting aspect to his personality and to his value on the market, sure, because, the fact that he hasn't signed a 4-5, 6-year deal or whatever, the Indians, one thing, again, the fans sometimes tend to forget is the Indians have always been aggressive with trying to sign young players to long-term deals. They did it with Corey Kluber. They just did it again with Carlos Carrasco, even though this is the second time around for him. And they'd love to do it with Trevor Bauer. And it is interesting to me, guys, that, he's been hesitant. Let's put it that way. Now, this doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be in Cleveland. This doesn't mean that he wants to get traded, none of that stuff. It just means that, look, he's the type of guy, and getting to know him a little bit and covering him the last couple of years, he's so analytical, but he also really is a guy who wants to prove his worth. And I think that, he's going to make an arbitration this year probably $12 to $13 million. That's nothing to sneeze at. And I read somewhere, I can't remember who wrote it, but, and it makes sense. If he has the type of year this year that he had last year, and let's say he doesn't get hurt, let's say that he gets through the entire season and ends up being in that Cy Young mix, he could make $20 million in 2020, and that's got to be a reason the Indians are even entertaining the thought of trading Trevor Bauer, because they just don't know how long they're going to be able to afford him in this market.
Matt Lodi, NEO Sports Insiders, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking about the series of trades the Tribe made earlier today. Matt, we'll cut you loose on this because it's fun to discuss these things. A lot of hypotheticals here. You've seen as many rumors as anybody else out there as far as the trades potentially involving Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer. The Dodgers obviously offer a lot. They seem to be a pretty obvious dance partner. Outside the Dodgers, who would you say are the favorites for the Indians to entertain the idea of a trade for either Kluber or Bauer?
Well, even though it hasn't been brought up in the last couple of days, it was early, I should say, probably like Sunday maybe, when the winter meetings were just about to begin, but you haven't heard it as much. I still think, guys, both New York teams are in the mix. I think the Mets are an obvious fit because of Mickey Callaway and the fact that he's had the history there, and they're a New York team that obviously has had some hard times, and they're looking to rebuild. The Yankees are in the mix because they're the Yankees. The thing with New York, though, both New York teams, is what are you going to get in return? I mean, again, the Indians aren't just going to give these guys up for nothing, and that's a big aspect of it. The Phillies are another team that's looking to make a huge splash this year. They got good suddenly quickly last year, but they need another piece or two to get over the top. I would think Milwaukee has got to be on that list as well, a team that the Indians have had some dealings with over the years, way back in the 90s with players like Ben McDonald and Bob Wickman coming to town. I mean, so the Indians have a history there. And you know what? I read it 2 days ago. We reported it on the site. Boy, Cincinnati's an interesting thought process for me because Cincinnati, while they don't have the prospects, they've got a team down there that's got some major league-ready guys to where if they'd be willing to give up some of those guys, the Indians might be listening. And I don't think that's probably the number one team by any means on the list. I think if there's a number one, it's either the Dodgers or maybe Philadelphia or the Brewers. But I think that Cincinnati, the two New York teams, they've also got to be in the mix as well.
We could talk all day long of these potential deals, and you were the first ones to put Cincinnati out there. I got to thinking about those major league ready guys, you know, between Iglesias and Suarez. I thought, man, those guys would look good in a Tribe uniform. They're also under control for a few years, too. I just don't know if Cincinnati would do that for Kluber alone. But, again, those are nice hypotheticals right to banter back and forth about. Matt, we know you're busy. Thank you so much for the time today. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll be speaking with you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.